Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody tell me!
Welcome to Simple Facts of Life Radio, where, well, we've finally gotten to that day, the day that may well determine the course of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability for quite a while. I am, as always, your host, Chief, coming to you from Portland, Oregon. Number here is 949-272-9588. Well, it is Election Day. And, you know, if anybody listened to my show last week, I kind of indicated that I probably wasn't even going to do a show today because, well, it seemed kind of pointless to talk about the election, but it also seemed kind of pointless to talk about anything else. Well, I'd mentioned that in the chat room, you know, that I might not be doing a show today, and a couple people were, for some bizarre reason, upset that I wasn't going to be on today. So, okay, I'm here, but I decided to just take a break, step aside from all the politics, all the social, maybe have a little fun while we wait to see what's going on. So I figured, hey, how about a sea story? Now, for those who aren't too familiar with the Navy, I'd say hi to Stephen on the line here, a former shipmate. He's not going to need to hear this, but others listening might need to know, what is a sea story? Well, that's just, you know, it's a story. All of us have our stories in our lives. And, you know, guy who had 20 plus years in the Navy, a lot of stories that maybe have something to do with the Navy. But here's the key to a sea story. There's an old joke in the Navy that goes, what's the difference between a fairy tale and a sea story? The answer is, a fairy tale starts out once upon a time. A sea story starts out, now this is no shit. So, okay, that's what I got for you today. Before I get started, it's kind of a long story. Well, no, I've got a lot of stories, but this is my favorite. I've not told this story, I'm pretty sure, here before. I did tell this story a couple years ago on Global Patriot Radio on Kel Fritz's show. I still miss Kel. But, yeah, before I get started with the story itself, I have to, for the benefit of people who don't understand how the Navy works, I have to define a few terms, words, just so that when I use the words in the story, you'll know what I'm talking about, but I won't have to break up the story. So the first thing I want to define is the word mess decks. Mess decks is that part of the ship where the crew eats. You know, that's easy enough to figure out. The official name for the place is usually something like enlisted dining facility, something like that. But it's usually referred to as the Mastex. But it has the word also has another meaning, because the Mastex is the ship where people who don't normally live together, work together, they all get, it's the one place where everybody goes. So it is kind of traditionally the place, you know, rumor control, where the word, it's sort of like the word from the, you might say on a ship, the word from the mess decks is sort of the civilian equivalent, or, you know, the equivalent of the civilian term, you know, the word on the street, you know, what's going on. So that's, when I use the word mess decks later on, I'm going to be using it simultaneously in both of those usages of the word, both the literal physical term and the figurative term. Another word I need to define is a mess cook is not a cook. There are on the ship, you know, there are cooks. These are professional food preparation specialists. That's what they do. But a mess cook is more, the more civilian equivalent might be a busboy. These are the guys who, you know, wash the dishes, clean up the mess decks, clean, make sure the make the coffee, that sort of thing, you know. And they are not professional cooks. They are junior sailors who come from any department on the ship. You do 3 months at a time, normally one time during your naval career. You'll have to do this for 3 months. You have to go mess cooking, they say. Depending on, you know, I mean, you could, like, arrive on the ship after spending the last 6 months in school, you know, studying advanced electronics or something, and, okay, you're a mess cook now. Seems goofy, but that's the way it works. But how many mess cooks any particular division has to send depends on the size of the division. I was in a relatively small division. The division I was on at the time of this story, we had to send one guy. Okay, so a couple other things I have to talk about, just, you know, to set the stage here, has to do with the way the Navy works. There are certain, you know, a ship, you know, almost anybody can go most places on the ship anytime, but there are a few places that you're just not allowed for various reasons. Maybe it's because the place is dangerous, like on an aircraft carrier when they're doing flight operations. If you're not allowed or supposed to work on the flight deck, you're not allowed to be there. Another type of place where the access is very restricted has to do with security. Like communications, for instance, there's all kinds of codes there, various messages that may be very sensitive, you know, the kind of things that are only allowed to be in that area, or, of course, on Hillary Clinton's server. But that's another story. But, you know, most of the crew is not allowed in there. Another place might be like the intelligence center on an aircraft carrier. These are the people that study the pictures and gather, and they do the briefings for the pilots. Okay, when you go out to bomb this place, this is what it looks like. This is what you can expect the resistance to be, all that sort of thing. But probably the most secret place you would ever find on a ship. This place is so secret that I think half the crew didn't even know it existed. It was a place called SES, which is an acronym spelled S-S-E-S, Ship Signal Exploitation Space. These are the guys who basically listen to whatever might be coming over the air from wherever it might be coming, and try to gather intelligence information. You know, if it affects the ship, they might pass that information to the intelligence center, or they might pass it to the national authorities, the NSA, that sort of places, whatever they can find out. Very secret. Most of the crew did not even know where this place was. Okay, now, get to the story. And, of course, this is no shit. The situation. It's 1980. Ship is the USS Constellation. It's an aircraft carrier. Jimmy Carter is the president. Iran is holding our hostages. Constellation is in the northwestern end of the Indian Ocean, a few hundred miles off the coast of Iran, doing circles in the ocean because, you know, the government wanted an aircraft carrier there. Understandable. My position at the time, I was a second-class petty officer, which is two notches below chief. And my job was, I was the leading petty officer of the navigation division. Leading petty officer is like the guy who is positionally one notch below the chief, the guy in charge of all the people that were not chiefs in the division. But I also had another job on the ship at the time. It's actually somewhere between a job and a hobby. I was a TV personality because, you know, the kind of ego that makes somebody think you might want to listen to me here. Yeah, I had to be on TV. The ship had a closed-circuit television system, TVs all over the ship. They showed movies and that sort of thing. But we did do a nightly news show. It's done live, 5 p.m. every day. And, you know, just the news. So I was the guy. They'd asked for people. I auditioned. They put me on there. And that was kind of the local news information, things that were going on the ship. That's what I did. Back to the situation. One day, standing around, we had been out in the Indian Ocean for upwards of 2 months, just doing our circles, like I said. And it was about time for us to leave. Now, about a year and change before that, we're in a very similar situation in a very similar part of the world, same ship, Constellation. There was something going on. They wanted an aircraft carrier there. It was before the Iran hostage thing, but something going on. And we had to stay there, but we were getting ready to leave. Another carrier, the USS Ranger, was coming out to take our place. But as they were on the way to relieve us on station, they had a collision in the Straits of Malacca, which is kind of the main route between the Pacific Ocean and the Indian Ocean. It's a little waterway that passes south of Singapore and then between the Malay Peninsula and Sumatra. Very heavy ship traffic area. The Ranger had a collision. Rather serious. They had to turn around. So we had to wait, and eventually the Navy reshuffled their schedules and everything. They sent the USS Midway, which was a carrier at the time, which homeported in Japan, and they came out to take the place of the Ranger so that we could leave. This was a year before. Well, now we're in the exact same position. Been there a few months, 1980, and the Midway is coming out again to relieve us. They were scheduled to do it this time. Well, one day, mid-afternoon, maybe about 3 p.m., something like that, standing in the pilot house, and something comes over the intercom. I don't even remember exactly who it came from, maybe Combat Information Center, maybe it was the Intelligence Center, something like that. But just word came out across there, and they said We just got word from CES that they had picked up something on one of their circuits that said USS Midway was involved in a collision. Serious damage, at least one fatality. That's basically what we heard. Totally unofficial back channel communication from, it got to us from the bridge, from the most secret place on the whole ship. Now, I don't know. I imagine the captain was probably on the bridge at the time, because that's where he usually hung out. If not, he was called. He was there momentarily. But we're all just standing there shocked, because those of us who had been on the ship in the previous deployment remembered this. And what does it mean for us? Do we have to wait for something? We're just standing there in kind of shock, kind of dazed stupor, all of us in the ship. Well, sometime very shortly after this, maximum 5 minutes, and I'm thinking it was closer to two, one of the phones on the bridge rings. As the guy, the quartermaster of the watch, was the guy whose phone it was. He's one of my guys, navigation division. And he was on watch. His job is to keep the deck log, but also he's kind of a receptionist for the bridge. And people would come in, you know, and he'd answer the phone and that sort of thing. That's kind of what he did. Well, he picks up the phone. And I hear him, he's saying something, hemming and hawing. And he looks at me, he calls me over and says, holds the phone out to me and says, you need to take this call. He didn't want to, thought, okay. So I answer the phone. And on the other end of the phone is the navigation department's mess cook. This guy, he wants to know about, did the Midway have a collision? Is this true? Bear in mind, this is like just a couple minutes after we got the word on the bridge, which tells me the word probably got to the mess decks before it even got to the bridge from CES, most secret place on the ship. So I just held the phone out in front of me, and I addressed the officer of the deck, but said this loud enough where everybody on the bridge could hear, including the captain. I said, sir, I've got the mess decks on the phone. They want to know about the Midway. Everybody just stands there. I mean, you could just see the jaws drop. How did they know about this? You know, because we on the bridge hadn't even absorbed it yet. So that was just like the bizarre situation. But I'm thinking, okay, now my mind is working, because, you know, there's opportunities in everything. And I'm saying, I realize something. So I did something that a lowly second class petty officer would never normally do. I had never done it before, but I walked the old few feet across the bridge over to the chair where the captain was sitting. And I say, excuse me, captain, can I have a minute of your time? And, you know, of course, I was hung out on the bridge. He knew who I was. I wasn't just some random guy. But what is it? Captain, the word's out about the Midway. And I have to go on TV in a little while. The crew knows. They're going to expect me to say something. What do I tell them? What can I tell them? Because this was all unofficial. information could have been totally bogus, but we were pretty sure it wasn't. And it was certainly highly classified information, but the word was out. And the captain, he just looks at me. I guess this must have been in the back of his mind somewhere along the line, but he realized he that I was right. The crew was going to expect me to say something about it because I was the local news guy, and this was it. Now, of course, for me, I have my totally ulterior motives because I was tired of being the local news guy, kind of the other guy that was shoved off to the side, because now there was a big story, the biggest story of the whole cruise, and I had it. It was in my, you know, my bailiwick, as it were. I had it. I did not want to miss this opportunity. So the captain, he just, come here. And he and I, we walked out of the pilot house to a little room behind, and he just says, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he agreed with me. I had to say something. So he just told me that he did not want me to mention that there had been any fatalities. Well, personally, I didn't know what difference that meant. I mean, no fatalities on our ship or anything. What, you know, what difference it made. But he did not want me to say that. What he did want me to see, he just said, tell him what information we have, and just assure the crew that as soon as we know what the real story is and how it will affect our schedule and what's going on, tell them that I will talk straight to the crew. That was his big phrase. I'll talk straight to the crew, let them know, and we'll take it from there. So at this point, I am all giddy and happy and all that sort of thing, because now I run off from the bridge and I run down to the TV studio, and I am just all smiles because I have got the goods. And so I talked, and for I think the first and probably the last time, I, your humble correspondent, got to open the show. Of course, had the regular anchor, big guy, he opened it, but I normally didn't come on until rather late in the show. But no, I opened the show sitting next to the big guy, who just said, welcome to the show, and here's the real news, and went over to me. So I got to talk to the captain there, or talk to the crew with the big story, and that was certainly the highlight of my TV career. And, of course, the story has not just to wrap up what happened. Eventually, the Midway did, in fact, have a collision. They turned around. They actually sent the Dwight D. Eisenhower, an aircraft carrier from the Atlantic Fleet. It took them a couple weeks to get there, but they sent them out to take our place. Actually took a little bit longer because the Eisenhower, their admiral or whatever, decided, I don't know, just sort of to appease the crew, instead of, they made us stay there a little bit longer. The Eisenhower went all the way to the other side of the ocean to do a port visit in Singapore, and then they came back to do it. And interestingly enough, they took 50 of the crew from the Constellation, me included for some bizarre reason, over to Singapore with them. So I got to visit Singapore one more time before the rest of the crew did on that cruise. So that was a good thing. And then they came back, and that's it. And that's kind of the end of the story, kind of pointless, but kind of a fun story and something that doesn't have to do with politics and the election and all that sort of thing. And yes, it killed pretty much the entire show here. So I got a few other stories, but I really don't have time to get into it. I guess we'll all be watching the TV. And we'll see what happens, see how it all worked out. And however it works out, we'll get up tomorrow morning. Maybe we'll have a new president-elect. Maybe we'll have the same old president-elect. But we'll get on with our lives. We'll be Americans. And we'll deal with things as we have to deal with them. So, getting short on time here. I'd like to thank Stephen, who's joined me on the phone. And there's another unidentified call on the phone, so I don't know, but thank you for joining me. And I'm just checking here. Don't know if Tim Tapp is doing a show tonight or not, but I'm about out. Few minutes left, so since I was talking about the Navy, I am going to end the show with old favorite song of mine from an old shipmate from a Delta aircraft carrier, USS Independence, who little Navy song, Eddie Walker Jr., Every Shade of Navy Blue.
Out on the sea, make a sailor so lonely. Away, thinking about her, thinking now about being home with this lovely. Since he can't be there. Thinking about her, yeah, it's all so true. The sad part is every shade of blue. His life is every shade of blue. Underway. Love.